The message is entitled, The History of New Age Healing and Its Rejection of Christian Doctrines. The History of New Age Healing and Its Rejection of Christian Doctrines. So this may be a little bit different. I don't know if you've heard a lot of this stuff, but it's different and it's good. It's good to know from a Christian perspective, because there are several forms of New Age healing practices. And you may have heard of some of them. You may have thought, well, hey, this sounds okay. What's wrong with this, you know? One of them is called Reiki, R-E-I-K-I, Reiki. Another one's called Therapeutic Touch. And another one is called Healing Touch. And you may notice that some of the clinics in the area offer these Healing Touch and Therapeutic Touch. No question. These are New Age healing practices. The oldest one goes back to about 1900, is when Reiki came in, and then one of the others came in about 1972, and another one in the early 80s. So we're going to look at the history of these New Age healing practices and then talk about their rejection of Christian doctrines, because they're not Christian. And a lot of times they are taught and advertised as if they are the laying on of hands like Jesus did. And they're not. They're not the same thing at all. But we'll look at how they got started and a little bit of history and then their rejection of... Because, see, we've been studying the foundational doctrines of the church, the resurrection of the dead, laying on of hands, all these sorts of things. So now we want to look at an outside perspective that's taken all of those things and turned them and twisted them a little bit. So, at least one of them was developed over a century ago, but they're still associated with New Age thought. Now, when we talk about New Age, we're talking about the astrological age of Aquarius. We've heard about that for 40, 50 years through the song that the fifth dimension did. The age of Aquarius, harmony and understanding, sympathy and trust abounding. Everybody knows the song, right? And we looked at that a while back, and we were looking at John Lennon's song about imagine there is no country, imagine there is no heaven, no hell below us. Oh, how wonderful it would be. And imagine no country, no borders. We could all live together as in the brotherhood of men, happy and peaceful and in harmony. See, it's a philosophical idea that in reality probably wouldn't work. But the name of that message I taught, it was called Don't Drink the Kool-Aid. I taught that 2 or 3 months ago, and it's all about how a lot of that New Age thought came in very, although it's been around a long time, a lot longer than 40 or 50 years, but it really kind of came to the forefront during the 60s with the subculture of the 60s, you know, the LSD and the marijuana and all of that stuff that was going on. There was a subculture that took on new ideas and looked at traditional things and said, well, we've got to break away from the establishment, man. Whatever's established, we got to break, we got to destroy it, move on to something new. And they foresaw, and actually the age of Aquarius, which is an astrological age, we don't look at astrology for any kind of thing. That's the occult arts. But it really started actually around 2011 was the official starting of that particular astrological age. Yeah, around 2011. So anyway, if you want to look up that message, don't drink the Kool-Aid. You can check that on the website. But what we want to look at today are New Age practices and how the underlying philosophies and beliefs behind them are in direct opposition to traditional Christian doctrines. And I use the words philosophies and beliefs because New Age is not a religion. It's a philosophical way of thinking more than it is a religion. And so it's hard to say the New Age religion says this, but because it's not a religion. You don't have to be a religious person to buy into their concepts. So, per se, it's not a religion. And so, the truth is that Christianity is one of the greatest opposing forces to New Age thought. Traditional Christianity is one of the strongest opposing forces to New Age thought. So that automatically makes Christianity its enemy. So what are the New Age practices? We spoke about them, Reiki, Therapeutic Touch, and Healing Touch. Now, Reiki was introduced around 1900, And so we're going to look at a brief history of these three practices and then look at how they reject Christian doctrines. The founding of Reiki. Now, the story of the origin of Reiki was taken from an article or a thesis I read entitled New Age Healing versus Christian Healing. Reiki, Healing Invading Churches and Hospitals. So what's the difference? That's a pretty long title by Gary S. Gregg, Ph.D., July 2012. So, for the sake of time, I'm kind of paraphrasing what this guy said because I was just trying to find a capsulized version of it. Dr. Gregg quotes a Reiki master named Dr. Ruth Allen as making reference in a paper she wrote referring to the words of a prominent Reiki source, William Rand, who told the story of the Reiki founder. Now, this guy's name was Mikao Yeshui. It's spelled M-I-K-A-O. M-I-K-A-O, Mikao. Yeshui is U-S-U-I. So, Mikao Yeshui is the founder of Reiki Healing. The story of the discovery of Reiki Healing techniques was modified a little bit for the Western audience. And so a few falsehoods were put into the story to make it more palpable to Western Christianity. Because this guy was a Japanese man. Okay? So here are the falsehoods of the story. And I'll tell you the story, but let me tell you the falsehoods that are in it first. Though he was a Buddhist monk, he was falsely purported to have been a Christian. And that he presided, that's number one falsehood, and that he presided over a Christian school in Japan, that's number two falsehood, and that he had a Doctor of Theology degree from the University of Chicago. That didn't happen, so none of these were true. It appears that the motive of Reiki enthusiasts was to deceive Western audiences into accepting Reiki, the use of deception being a clear sign that something was amiss. In other words, if you got something that's true and real, you don't have to use deception to sell it to people. Amen? Amen. Mikao Yeshui was born in Japan 1865, died 1926. That gives you his lifespan there, late 18th century, early 19th century. And the fabricated legend of Mikao is that he was a young man who grew in academic and religious life. The story goes that though a Buddhist, he was educated by Christian missionaries in Kyoto, Japan, later becoming the headmaster of a Christian boys' school, and was at that time asked by some of the younger students if he believed that the Bible was God's word. He said he did believe that and was then asked by the students if he could heal people like Jesus did, to which he replied that he had no healing powers, and then was challenged by the students as to his qualification to be a spiritual leader. If you can't heal like Jesus did, how can you be a spiritual leader? Well, the legend goes on to claim that Yeshua then began a search for the healing light of Christ, and that quest took him to the University of Chicago, where he allegedly received a Doctor of Theology degree. After that, Yeshua traveled extensively in Europe and China to further his education. He also traveled to North India and Tibet, searching for keys to understanding healing. Yeshua was not able to find satisfaction in traditional Christian teachings nor in Buddhist spiritualism in his search to, as the story goes, understand the healing ministry of Jesus. That was supposedly his quest. See, Christians in that day, and probably mostly in this day too, believed in the healings of Jesus and the miracles that took place in his ministry, but they believed that those miracles authenticated him as the Son of God, and the miracles weren't for today, that today we use doctors. That was the general, traditional Protestant view at that time, early 19th century. And the Buddhists also believed that Gautama, the Buddha, may have also healed people. But they said, well, today physicians do it. You know, and besides that, if you're going on the search for Buddhism and this nirvana experience or this oneness with God, you're not really concerned about the physical body anyway. You want to get away from that. You want to just punish the body. And so he said, well, there's nothing there. So as the story goes, and I say this because I don't know how much of this is true and how much is false. Most of it's probably false. Yeshua continued to study the Buddhist scriptures, the sutras, and he eventually found several healing symbols from Tibetan Buddhism written in Sanskrit, and later discovered a way to deploy them. And I've seen these symbols. They look like Chinese writings, you know, just little symbols, little lines and dots and stuff. And he found these symbols that supposedly had something to do with healing power. So, as the story goes, in the remoteness of a mountain near Kyoto, Japan, Yusai quietly opened himself to divine guidance. A burst of light came forth from heaven and struck Yeshua on the head, and he fell unconscious. When he came to, he remembered that the light had given him the meaning of the healing symbols that he had discovered earlier. He had a revelation of what these healing symbols meant. This was the beginning of Reiki. Now he had a revelation that the way love is shared is through the laying on of hands. And although Reiki is rooted in Japanese culture and Buddhist healing techniques, Yeshua was able to present it as the healing practice of laying on of hands that Jesus used in his ministry. Amen. So, thus there was a false relationship created between Reiki and the ministry of Christ. Reiki actually involves the use of Sanskrit symbols and healing power that is supposedly manifested by the hands in the touch. The prana energy, if you study some of that Sanskrit Eastern religion stuff, it's called prana. We'll look at that in a second. Because all three of these are kind of based in the same origin, really. So, let's look at therapeutic touch. That came along in 1972. It sprang out of what's called the American Theosophical Society, founded in 1865. Anybody heard of that? See, Pastor John has. The American Theosophical Society, founded in 1865. That's around the Civil War time. Yeah, the founders were Helena Blavatsky, an American Colonel Henry Alcott, along with attorney William Guan Judge. His last name's Judge. Blavatsky had studied the spiritualism of the Far East and brought her knowledge to America, where I think she was Russian-born. But she studied the spiritualism of the Far East and brought it to America, where such knowledge was altogether a new thing. Nobody had heard of that before in America, not many people. And her writings became the first precepts of what is referred to as theosophy. Theosophy is defined as any of a number of philosophies maintaining that a knowledge of God may be achieved through spiritual ecstasy, spirit intuition, or direct intuition, or special individual relations. In other words, you are a person who has a special relation with God or the force or whatever you call it. And especially the movement founded in 1875 is the Theosophical Society by Helena Blavatsky and Henry Steele Alcott. Now, that they didn't actually start therapeutic touch, but there was a lady named Dora Kunz, K-U-N-Z, Dora Kunz, who lived 1904 to 1999, so we're into the 20th century now. She was a Dutch-born American writer, psychic, alternative healer, and an occultist and leader in the Theosophical Society in America. So she was one of these Theosophical Society people. She worked for a number of years with alternative methods of healing, and in particular a practice she called therapeutic touch, which she and Dr. Dolores Krieger developed in 1972. So we're talking about something that came out in 1972. A method that seemed to promote relaxation and healing. Kunz herself stated that therapeutic touch originated in ancient yoga philosophies, written in Sanskrit, and described as prana or pranic healing. Now, pranic healing is an energy healing system developed and promoted by Chow Kok Sui, can't hardly pronounce it, 1952 to 2007, who was a Filipino of Chinese descent. The claim is that prana or energy can heal ailments in the body by contributing to the person's energy field. This energy can contribute to your personal energy field. Hey, Conrad, we're talking about some strange stuff, brother. Just take it with a grain of salt. The idea of prana energy comes from yoga philosophy and Eastern religions. So Coons published a book in 1977. This is just a side thought. Coons published a book in 1977. It hadn't been that long ago. You can still find this book called The Real World of Fairies. That's okay. Go ahead, laugh. It's all right. In which she wrote about her lifelong maintaining of communication with nature spirits. She wrote that though she had seen fairies in Central Park, it was becoming more difficult due to pollution. She encouraged people to get involved with environmental causes so as to improve the communication between humans and nature spirits. Wow. It's still going strong. Did you know that the infatuation with nature and ecology in our day is more religious and philosophical in nature than it is scientific? It really is. These people are into these things with nature and ecology and all that. I mean, it's good to have clean air. I mean, that's obviously, that makes common sense, but it's more to it than that. See, the Bible tells us that God gave man dominion over all the earth. But New Age thought wants us to bow down and worship the great Mother Earth. And so that's what? It's idolatry is what it's called. Making an idol out of Mother Earth, which the Mother God goes way back in traditional, you know, history of Greeks and Romans and all of that. What's that? Egyptians, very much so. Babylonians also. So that's new. Worshiping the sun and worshiping the earth go way, way back. It's just kind of new to us in the 20th and 21st centuries. Because we thought that through the Enlightenment, we came up out of that sort of thing. Everything is rational and it's measured in terms of reasonableness. But these silly superstitions were pushed out, but now they're coming back. Now, Healing Touch in 1980... So 1980, Mingen, Janet Mingen, the name is spelled M-E-N-T-G-E-N. Looks like it would be pronounced Mintgen, but I looked up the pronunciation and it says Mingen. Janet Mingen was a registered nurse who had a desire to cultivate the connection between nurses and the patients she ministered to. I think about Janine, because I look at the picture of this lady, Janet Mingen, and she looked like a very sweet, loving person who just really had a great desire to help people. And evidently she did her job really well. But she discovered a positive effect of touch using various energy techniques in 1980. So what is healing touch? I found a good definition of healing touch on the website healingtouchprogram.com just to kind of get a capsulized version of what healing touch actually is. It says that healing touch is an energy therapy in which practitioners consciously use their hands in a heart-centered and intentional way to support and facilitate physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual health. Healing touch is a biofield therapy, that is, magnetic field around the body. A biofield therapy, that is, an energy-based approach to healing and health. Healing touch uses the gift of touch to influence the human energy system, specifically the energy field that surrounds the body and the energy centers that control the flow from the energy field to the physical body. Okay, now see, I've heard that stuff somewhere before. And then it became real clear. I don't know if it's this line or the next one. These non-invasive techniques employ the hands to clear, energize, and balance the human and environmental energy fields, thus affecting physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. It is based on a heart-centered, caring relationship in which the practitioner and the client come together energetically to facilitate the client's health and healing. The goal of healing touch, and that's kind of vague, but that's what they say it means. The goal of healing is to restore balance and harmonies in the energy system, placing the client in a position to self-heal. This is another thing from the same website, healingtouchprogram.com. Energy therapies focus on removing energy congestion that form in our energy fields, aura. Energy congestion in our aura, the energy field around you, and energy centers, which are called chakras. Oh, now I've heard this before. Now you're getting into Buddhism and Hinduism and all that sort of thing, yoga philosophy. So once these imbalances and disturbances are clear, the energy channels resume their task of integrating the body, mind, and soul to restore health and promote healing. It may also help, you know, and this is, you hear so much about holistic healing these days. And I believe God is interested in holistic healing. He wants to heal more than the body. He wants to heal the mind and the spirit, you know, whatever we've got problems with. But this is where this whole idea of we're going to approach healing in a holistic manner. And that means we're going to look at your energy field while we're at it. It may also help to prevent future issues by restoring balance to energy field disturbances, which could later result in illness if left unbalanced. Now, the reference to chakras and auras comes from Eastern religions' yoga philosophies. It is another form of the manipulation of prana energy, as mentioned before in therapeutic touch. It is a practice of Eastern religions and yoga philosophies. You remember the movie Karate Kid? Oh, Daniel-san! And Daniel-san got hurt. And Miyagi would clap his hands and rub his hands together and then put them on the... That's prana healing. You know, we're getting into things. The human spirit has a large amount of power in and of itself, outside of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, within itself. You know, Jesus, I was looking at that scripture the other day, Mark 11:23. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. I believe he's talking about the power of the human spirit. I could be wrong about that because the first thing he says is have faith in God. So he could be talking about the God kind of faith. But yet there's something there that says whosoever. Whosoever means just about anybody. And there's a releasing of some power. So anyway, see, when you're in the midst of spiritual things, there are human spirits involved. There are angelic spirits. There are demonic spirits. There's the spirit of God. So lots of spirits there involved. But anyway, that's just a side thought. You can think about that. If you disagree, that's fine. It's just a hypothesis. Anyway, so source of New Age healing practices. It is evident that all three of these New Age practices originate in Eastern religious practices of such religions as Hinduism and Buddhism, as well as the yoga philosophies of the Far East. Now, so we see kind of where these things are coming from. They're not related to the ministry of Jesus Christ, like they're trying to present themselves to be. Hey, this is the way Jesus did. He laid hands on people. It was a different thing altogether. So we want to look further now. That's a little bit of the history, and I'll give you a very quick synopsis of the rejection of Christian doctrines. Now, these healing practices, although similar, are slightly different, but yet they all have the same view toward Christian doctrines. And Dr. Randy Clark teaches quite a bit on New Age thought, and I found some of these New Age oppositions to Christian doctrine in a message he taught called Basic Christian Doctrines Denied by New Age Worldview. And again, for the sake of time, I'll paraphrase and abbreviate. The doctrine of creation. Christians believe that God created the heavens and the earth and all things therein. And New Age Worldview believes that matter is eternal with no beginning nor end, and that the God force, the cosmic energy, is intertwined within the universe. So that's an opposition to Christian doctrine. Christians believe all of this was created by God. And the New Agers believe, no, it's always been here millions and zillions of years. Anyway, and that God didn't do it. It was God, the cosmic force is intertwined in nature. The doctrine of God's nature. Christians believe that God's a personal God whom we can know. We believe that he has emotions, that he can love, that he can have compassion on people, that he can be grieved, and that he can feel. You know, he can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. New Agers, on the other hand, believe that the cosmic energy of the universe is God, and there are no personal characteristics. That energy is impersonal. It's an impersonal energy. You remember the movie, what was it, with all they were on that other planet? Avatar. Iwa was their deity. And then he was praying to Ewa, and the lady comes and, no, Ewa doesn't get involved. Ewa doesn't do that. Ewa just maintains balance. In other words, Ewa was not a personal God. Same thing. It's in our movies. These ideas come to us in our movies. Star Wars, the Force. Use the Force, Luke. Anyway, the doctrine of time. Christians view time as linear. Creation has a beginning, and what's here has an ending. There will be a new heaven, a new earth. And it's all set in a linear timetable. Now, New Age thought views time as cyclical and not moving toward an ultimate purpose. It just goes on like a river. Time has no beginning, no end, and it just goes on like a river. And there are actually cycles of lifetimes that we know as reincarnation. We'll talk more about that. The doctrine of the human being. Christians view the human being as the creation of God and having free will to choose good or evil. That's the Christian view. New Age thought views the human being as one caught up in cycling lives of reincarnation and affected by karma. A person's lot in life is viewed as the product of their karma. And Randy Clark told a story about being in some place, I think it may have been in India, I don't remember exactly, but he said that he and his friend kept walking by this guy in the ditch, and this poor guy looked so pitiful. One day they brought him a bottle of water. And the whole crowd jumped up and really had a fit over it. Don't do that, you know. This man is suffering his karma. He's in this condition because of his karma. Don't help him. So much suffering as a result. It's your karma. That's why you're suffering. So don't mess with that. Don't try to fix that. So, let's see. Yeah, caught up in reincarnation. Now, the doctrine of sin. Christians view sin as things we shouldn't do. If we do them, we become captive to sin. We become in need of salvation or forgiveness. The method by which Christ removes us from sin, either through salvation, the forgiveness of sin, or if we sin as Christians, we ask forgiveness. We confess our sins. Now, to the New Age worldview, there is no absolute standard. To New Age, your sin is simply not understanding that we are part of the cosmic one. We don't have that understanding that we are part of the cosmic energy. And that's the only thing that's wrong with us. And that's what causes us to live lifetime after lifetime, to be perfected. That lack of understanding is what is wrong with us, not sin. Now, the doctrine of salvation. Christians believe that through Christ we are delivered from sin and the wrath of God and from coming judgment. Who has warned thee to flee the judgment to come? To New Age thought, salvation is a secret knowledge of how things really work, an insight and enlightenment into the cosmic universe. And that's what people who go through yoga techniques and mantras and all of these things are seeking after, to get to that place to where they tune themselves into this cosmic energy. The doctrine of Jesus' incarnation. Christians believe that Jesus' incarnation is a historical fact. That the Son of God came, was manifested in the flesh, died for our sins, was seen of angels, and was received up into glory. Now, to New Age thought and worldview, the idea of Christ is a cosmic Christ spirit that came upon all the great sages of history, like Buddha and Muhammad, and all the ones who were great religious leaders. That spirit of Christ came upon all of them. That's how they view. When they say Christ, that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about our Christ. You know, they could be confusing because it's the same terminology with different meanings. And so other supposedly great religious leaders had this spirit of Christ. And so they don't believe that he's coming again. He was just one of many who had this Christ spirit upon him in New Age view. Now, the doctrine of Jesus, the way. Christians believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. As he said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. New Age thought views Jesus as one of the way showers. According to New Agers, according to them, there are many paths to God. And I know you've heard this teaching. It's called universalism. And Jesus is but one of the many paths that lead to God. And that's a New Age thought. That's a New Age worldview. And so he came to us. You've heard that. As long as I've been a Christian, I've heard people say that. The doctrine of resurrection. We've been talking about resurrection the last couple of weeks in the foundational class. And Christians believe that there will be a physical resurrection in Christ in which we will be raised up in a glorified body. How many believe that? Amen. The rest of you will pray for you after the meeting. Just kidding. Anyway, so New Age worldview believes that there is reincarnation, not resurrection. Living lives again and again and again and again until complete knowledge is reached. At that point, the individual soul becomes a drop of water in the cosmic ocean of the universal energy force. And so that's what's referred to as, you hear the term nirvana. It's that oneness with the divine force, the cosmic energy of the universe. And so once you reach that, you become part of that. You lose all identity of who you were. And anyway, it's a little on the strange side, but a lot of people believe that stuff. The doctrine of the second coming. Didn't we talk about that already? I thought we did. Okay, the doctrine of resurrection. So we talked about the doctrine of the second coming already. The doctrine of heaven. Christians believe in a literal heaven where Christ and the Father, God, reside along with angels and the spirits of Christians who have gone on. The spirits of just men made perfect. Mount Zion. So that's the heavenly place where Jesus and God and the angels all dwell. And hopefully heaven comes and touches earth in our meetings. And it's part of what the eternal thing with God is going to be. It's going to be involved with heaven, although it will be on earth too. I think new earth, new heaven, new earth. New Age thought believes in nirvana, the state of oneness with the cosmic universe. So they don't believe in heaven. Now, the doctrine of judgment. Christians believe in the doctrine of eternal judgment, in which some will spend eternity with Christ and others will spend eternity in everlasting darkness. And we talked about that, I believe it was last week or the week before in the foundational class. The New Age thought believes that karma is judgment. And it's visited on an individual in succeeding lifetimes until all impurities are worked out and the individual becomes one with the cosmos. Now, the doctrine of impartation. The Christian doctrine of impartation is that spiritual gifts can be imparted by prayer and prophecy and the laying on of hands. That's a Christian doctrine. Paul told Timothy to stir up the gift that is within you by the laying on of my hands and by the presbytery. And so there is, and I long to come visit you and be with you that I may impart some spiritual gift. So there is a doctrine of impartation in Christianity. Reiki also has impartation. If you study that a little bit, you go through this process of learning from a master. After a certain amount of time, the master stands behind you in this ceremony and there is a spiritual impartation to that student. He becomes a Reiki master. But there's a spiritual element to that. Now, the doctrine of healing. Christians believe in the healing power of Jesus that is ministered by the working of the Holy Spirit through believers who call upon and exercise the authority of Jesus' name. Know you that this man stands here because of the name of Jesus. By the name of Jesus is this man made whole. It's power in that name. Believe faith in that name. Now, New Age worldview does not believe in a Savior or a Holy Spirit who enables people. They believe in a Spirit of Christ that they manipulate somehow through their energy thing. But it's an impersonal, not a person, an energy force. They believe in channeling healing energy that is present in and around every person, an aura, and the chakras and all of that. They believe in the help of spirit guides. Anybody ever heard of spirit guides? They incorporate, if they can't get something done, they'll ask the spirit guides to help them. This present darkness, was that in there? They believe in the help of spirit guides in channeling this energy. Healing to them can also depend on a person's karma, like we were talking before, where you can't be healed because it's part of your karma. This is something you're suffering in this life, and so you just need to suffer it, be done with it. In the next life, everything will be fine. So, if you don't get healed, it's karma's fault. So anyway, I just wanted to give you a quick bird's eye view. It's a lot of information to cover, and when you get into history, it can get a little boring, but I think this is interesting stuff. So I wanted to give you a bird's eye view of the history of New Age healing practices and their opposition to Christianity. So I want to ask you a question. Should Christians be involved in New Age healing? All right. Should Christians seek out New Age healers? Should Christians stand strong in Christian doctrines or yield to New Age thought? Amen. So, should Christians seek greater understanding of Christian healing practices? That's where we need to put our focus at. Christian healing. Amen. Thank you guys so much. God bless you.